walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. It's the wonderful joke about the child who was asked, what was God's first name? And the child said, Andy. Huh? Andy. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Da-dum-dum. We have in our religious life today many images of Jesus as our best friend, as our companion along the way. That song, I come to the garden alone and I get to be with Jesus, and it's Jesus and me for each tomorrow, and all the wonderful songs that we sing about Jesus, he and I, we be buds kind of imagery. The kind of idea that I used to have as a kid of walking along with my hand in Jesus's as if I was holding my dad's hand on a walk. We have this understanding of being able to come to Jesus and to not be afraid to be in his presence. And we speak about it and we sing about it and we pray about it. And we experience that real presence in Holy Communion and in our fellowship together as believers. We talk about being in the real presence of Jesus, in the real presence of God, sometimes so cavalierly, so easily, so simply, that in reality, we do it an injustice. And today we see both in Exodus and in Luke good examples of why we must be careful when speaking about the real presence of God in Jesus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. They knew something was wrong, as was said in the children's sermon, a little bit crazy looking. They knew this wasn't a normal experience. They knew that Moses had been in the immediate real presence of the Creator of the universe. Amen. And that's not something to take lightly. He had been in the immediate real presence of the Creator of all that we see and all that we know. He was in the Creator's real presence, and being in that presence is not something to take lightly. Likewise, Peter, James, and John at the time of the transfiguration of Jesus, falling asleep up there like they always did, you know, not really paying attention to what's going on. And here we have Jesus in conversation with Moses and Elijah. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. Verse 29 of Luke chapter 9. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. While he was praying, while Jesus was praying. When we are praying, we are in the immediate real presence of God. We are engaging in a means of grace and receiving the real presence of Jesus through that grace, through prayer. And here we see an example of Jesus praying, and we see an amazing sight. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. This is an insight, friends, into the nature of Jesus. This is an insight into his nature as God. This is an insight into his nature as the true source of all grace. This is an insight into his nature as the immediate real presence of God. If Moses would shine, reflecting the glory of God when he came down from speaking with God, how much more Jesus, who is God, shines forth like a stained glass window. Look at these windows over here. These windows are lit from behind by the sunlight outside shining in. And because they're lit from behind, the material in the glass and the paint on their surfaces fluoresces a bit and shines various colored lights in through these glorious stained glass windows. Likewise, God, God's nature, God's power, God's glory shines through Jesus. He literally shone, fluoresced, glowed with the amazing presence of God while he was praying there on the mountain. And in the midst of that event, from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah appeared and they were speaking with him. They too appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure. It was like Jesus in his prayer to God is sent two glorious saints to speak with him and encourage him, and they in what was about to take place. Moses and Elijah, the lawgiver, the one who established the covenant relationship of the Jewish people, of the Hebrew people with Yahweh God, and Elijah, the great prophet and challenger of kings and princes. We have here the imagery, the powerful imagery of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible affirmations of the power and majesty and authority of God represented in Moses and Elijah. And here they were speaking with Jesus. When we were in Israel, I was standing on the top of the mountainside where Elijah engaged in an altar lighting match with the priests of Baal. And they had set up these altars, and the priests of Baal prayed to Baal, asking Baal to light these altars, and cut on themselves, and prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened. They didn't glow. There was no lightning from the sky to set the altars afire. And Elijah goes to the altar for Yahweh and orders water to be dumped on it, bucket after bucket of water to be dumped on the altar. And then he doesn't go through some wild gyrations to pray. He simply kneels down and simply prays. And lightning from heaven falls and lights the altar ablaze. And the fire is so high and the fire is so strong that it licks up the water that had been poured all over the altar. And then Elijah takes a sword and slaughters the priests of Baal. Wonderful, wonderful story. The power, the majesty, the presence of God able to set altars afire is setting Jesus aflame, afire with the glory of God here on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we have also Moses, who on Mount Sinai spoke with God, and God gave him the law, the Ten Commandments, the covenant relationship that was to govern the people's living and was to show how much the people could not do it themselves, how much they needed the grace of God. So Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet, both incorporated into this experience with Jesus, pointing to Jesus, so that if we miss it with Moses, we wouldn't miss it with Elijah. And the disciples, unfortunately, missed it. What else is new? They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. Oh, Peter. Why do you have to be weighed down with sleep? Oh, James and John, the sons of thunder, who argued about who was going to get to sit at Jesus' right hand, they couldn't even stay awake for this scene. They were sleeping in the presence of the Almighty God. When have we taken lightly the real presence of God? When have we, as the children of God, as the people of God here in this place, taken lightly being in the real presence of God, so much like the disciples that we end up falling asleep? If we're honest with ourselves, we know we have many times. We've come to the altar for communion with our mind on something else, with our heart not in the right place, with our spirit focused not on the grace and power of God really present here for us to receive, but instead with our mind and our heart focused on a perceived wrong someone else has done us, or how angry we are at a friend across the room or across the country. We come to the table without our faith focused on the real presence of Jesus. And in doing so, we, like the disciples, end up disrespecting and ignoring the presence of God. Or baptism. We remember our baptism here to be reminded and remembered to the grace of God that overflowed in forgiving us and saving us. When we remember our baptisms, do we do it out of rote, or do we do it thanking God, praising God, saying amen for the blessing of His presence in our lives? When we come to church, do we come as if it's an ordinary thing? Or do we come recognizing and accepting the truth that this is a very extraordinary experience? An extraordinary experience which should become an everyday experience and not disrespected, but which sadly, because we so segregate our lives into the things we do during the week and the things we do on Sundays, that it ends up becoming truly extraordinary, and we often fall asleep in its presence. My friends, are we like the disciples, nodding off at the moment God is shining through into our lives? Are we like the disciples, nodding off in His presence? Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, the beginning of a period of time of preparation to see our participation in the arrest and trial, torture, crucifixion, and death of our Savior Jesus Christ. A time in which we are called to prepare, to recognize that He went to the cross for us. That He went to the cross and died in our place. At Christmas we say He is the reason for that season. At Lent and Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, we are the reason for that season. He went to the cross for you. My friends, this next set of Sundays coming up, this next season of the church year, the season of Lent, is a period of time to come to grips with the reality that He died for us. We have so much, my friends, so much to turn over to Him. Every single year it seems as though I'm discovering new sins, new temptations, new troubling aspects of my life that I need to turn over to Him. What is weighing on you today, this week, this month, this year? What do you need to turn over to Jesus this Lent? What do you need to give up and turn into His hands and accept the gift of forgiveness that He died on the cross to give to you. My friends, don't be asleep in the real presence of Jesus this Lent. Don't fall asleep and miss the glory of God shining through Him into your life. But allow His glory, allow His love, allow His grace, allow His peace to shine forth into your life and wake you up. My friends, are you slumbering? Are you sleeping? Are you weighed down with sleep today? If you are, open your eyes. We've seen the real presence of Christ in baptism. We've experienced the real presence of Christ in the singing of hymns. We've experienced the real presence of Christ in the reading of the Scriptures. We're experiencing the real presence of Christ in the preaching of the Word and in prayer. And we will receive and experience the real presence in Holy Communion. My friends, don't be asleep. Don't be weighted down in slumber today or throughout the season of Lent. But instead, open your eyes. See Him who died for you on the cross. Accept His gift of forgiveness. Leave your sins on the cross. And rise to walk with newness of life. Be raised from the death of sin on Easter Sunday. If we don't make the Lenten journey and recognize our culpability in His death, then we will not rise with Him on Easter morning. If we go blindly and sleepily through the season of Lent and fail to recognize that we are the reason He died on that cross, then we will not be raised with Him on Easter morning. Are you asleep? Are you slumbering? Are you trying to slip through this life quietly, in hopes of not being noticed? Are you trying to get out and get away? If you are, Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is shining forth for you. The means of grace are here for you this season, this coming season of Lent. Recognize your responsibility. Recognize your participation. Recognize your culpability, my friends. And confess your sin. Give it to Jesus. And allow Him on Easter morning to raise you up.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Siegelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Siegelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.